Raider Nation has found its new home for daily Raiders content. This is Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, part of the Las Vegas Sports Network, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Happy Friday to everybody out there in Raider Nation. Thanks for being with us again here on Silver and Black Today, powered by our friend Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. 702-820-1234, because you deserve what is right. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. You can call us at 702-365-9200 is that number. We were talking about the Raiders going for an experienced cornerback or safety, and Tom, our listener on the Salmon Ash text line, which is 69187, texted, "No Gilmore, give Arnett a chance with the offseason and the new defensive coordinator. Defense needs more time than anything to learn to play with each other." So thanks to Tom for that message on the Salmon Ash text line. All right, we're going back right out on the Newsmaker line. Of course, this weekend, it's wild card weekend. There's lots of football going on the NFL side. And then, of course, on Monday, you have the national championship game, Alabama and Ohio State. And we're going to talk about betting these games with our good friend, Jeff Parles. Of course, Jeff is from Book It HQ. He's also the host of the Parlay Cast, which I highly recommend that you go on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe to that. Jeff, thanks for joining us again today on this Friday, man.
Of course, Scott. Thanks for having me. And like you said, go download the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Parlay Cast, very easy to find. But it's awesome to be with you. And there's a 6 money making opportunities this weekend, which is the first time. Hey, that's the first time I've been able to say that for a playoff weekend since before I was born. So
there you go. Well, let's take a look at through some of these games, Jeff. I'm going to start with the two that kind of intrigue me the most, starting with the Indianapolis Colts and Buffalo Bills. Right now, you have the Bills coming in on that hot streak where that team is just so playing so well. They're a 6-point favorite at most spots with an over under at about 51.5. Can the Buffalo Bills continue that hot streak? And can they win this game, or is the old man Rivers going to come out and do some magic and maybe not only win the game, but maybe disrupt the spread here at 6 points?
So I think this is a pretty good chance to lay with Buffalo here, Scott, mm-hmm. just because they're playing so well right now and their offense is on a different level. The only two players in the league playing better than Josh Allen right now are Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. That's obviously great company. The weather tomorrow, because this is one thing I was looking at, all things considered, for December in Buffalo, it's going to be basically at freezing, so at 32 degrees. That's pretty darn good for Buffalo in January, as we know. So, look, the weather's not going to be a factor, so it's not going to impact Rivers as much. It won't impact Buffalo's offense at all. It's not supposed to be particularly windy. So that's why the total's gone up as well to 51.5 from 50.5 and 51. So I would be inclined still to go over 51.5, and I would absolutely be comfortable laying 6.5 with the Bills. And the Bills are going to be, Scott, in basically every single teaser that you hear this weekend. Will be Buffalo -0.5. Will be the first leg of teasers this weekend. So I like the Bills. They're just a better team, and I expect them to be able to take care of Indy.
Well, and here's an interesting one. Also a Saturday game, Jeff. The Rams go up to Seattle. Now, usually when the 12th man, when that stadium is full, to me, that's definitely an advantage, because you look at the records and you look at Russell Wilson, 5-0 at home in playoff games like that. Seattle's favored by 3 here. But I think this could be closer. Seattle has not played off. Their defense has really come along and done really well towards the end of the season. The offense has been a little bit up and down. You still like Seattle at home, though, with the 3 points?
This is probably the toughest game of the weekend for me, Scott, just because of what the unknowns of the Rams quarterback situation. We're still not certain of who's going to go. McVay said it's going to be, I don't know, kick time. Great. That's great for betting purposes of not knowing who the quarterback is. But it comes down to the question. It really comes down to the question of, do you think a compromised Jared Goff 10 days after thumb surgery is better or worse than John Wolford? And what we saw from Wolford last week was, you know what? After that first throw, that was just a ghastly pick that set up Arizona's only score in a game. Wolford was fine. Wolford didn't turn the ball over. He added an extra dimension with his legs, and he looked totally fine. And that's really, that's part one of the handicap. The second part of this handicap, Scott, is, do you think Seattle's offense is the best unit in this game, or do you think the Rams' defense is the best unit in this game? For me, I think the Rams' defense is the best unit in this game. They really handled Seattle's offense both times that they played. I know they split, but that second game was really just the Rams' offense was horrible with Goff playing with a broken thumb. So, look, I'm inclined to I'm not going to bet this pre-flop, but if you made me take anything in this game, I would just bet the Rams outright. I think they're going to win the game, and they win the Seattle team well. So that would be the only thing I would bet, but I'm going to steer clear just because this is a tough game.
Yeah, and like you said, the quarterback situation, that's for a better, that's tough because you just don't know what's going to happen. If it's a kickoff decision, even worse. Now, on the other Saturday game, the final Saturday game is an interesting one to me because you have the other old man out there, Tom Brady, the Buccaneers. They're favored by 8 points, but I know a lot of money, right, is coming in on the Washington football team, that defense. The question is whether or not you know the defense is going to do okay, even against the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers also have a great defense, and Washington has a pretty anemic offense. With a lot of money coming in on Washington, which side of this one do you like?
Scott, I hate this line. I truly hate this line because for me, the way that I see this, Tampa winning by, like, the two of the most logical scenarios here are Tampa by 7 or Tampa by 10. So I'd be in a scenario or even Tampa by 14, but look, if this is one of those where if Tampa's laying 7 or 6.5, I would lay with Tampa. And if Washington was getting double digits, I would be inclined to take Washington. So the way that I'm betting this one is, I already mentioned Buffalo is a big-time teaser leg. Tampa minus 2 is going to be another big teaser leg. So I think we're going to see a ton of Buffalo minus a half or pick 'em and Tampa minus 2, 2.5. In teasers this weekend. I just think that's going to be what it's going to be for a lot of bettors, and I'm in that camp. I already locked in Buffalo minus a half and Tampa minus 2 earlier in the week. So, that would be the way I play it. I just, again, this line is right. The bookmakers got this one right. They put out the right odds here. The odds makers, I should say, put out the right odds, and the bookmakers have booked it well all week. So a job well done by the house on this one.
Yeah, there you go. Jeff Parles from Book It HQ is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Parles, P-A-R-L-E-S is how you spell it. Also, you can check out his Parlay Cast wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you subscribe to that. All right, we switch to Sunday now, Jeff. And the game I'm most excited about, I think a lot of the country is as well, the Ravens minus 3 against the Titans. You have an over-under here, 54.5. I'm loving the over. I'm finally thinking that Lamar Jackson might overcome his postseason woes. But this Tennessee Titans team is to me scary for this Ravens. This one could go either way. How do you like the line set up on that one at 3? It's pretty standard. But what does this one look like for you as far as betting concerns?
I'll say this right now, Scott. I'm back in Vegas now, and obviously we look at all the outs we have out here, and I was stunned when I saw Jeff Sherman tweet from the Westgate that they opened this game Baltimore minus 4.5. I was shocked when I saw that, and I'm kind of aggravated myself that I just didn't bet that right away, even with all potential COVID issues that could pop up throughout the week, because I thought that line was wrong. At 3, I still think it's wrong. I think this should be a pick-up. And I think Tennessee at home, with the way they have played Baltimore the last two times, they beat them in the regular season this year. I know that was the game that led into Baltimore's COVID outbreak, but still, the Tennessee had to come back from 2 scores down. They won the game in overtime. And then, obviously, in the high-profile scenario last year, 14-2 Baltimore scored 12 points against the Titans. Now I don't anticipate that happening. The Titan defense is significantly worse this year than it was a year ago. But Tennessee, to me, can absolutely score with Baltimore. They can score on Baltimore. And Derrick Henry, to me, is the best skill position player in this game by such a significant margin. And I know that's not the hottest of takes. The guy ran for 2,000 yards this year. But I think Henry will be able to control the game with his legs a little more than Lamar Jackson will be able to control the game with his legs and his arms. So I'm taking the Titans out right here, Scott. And like you said with the over, I do like this game over. I expect this game to get into the 60s. So 54, 54 and a half, anything. Bet it over. You and I see eye to eye on that, Scott.
Yeah, and it's interesting. That Titans offense, like you said, with Derrick Henry, I think they can keep the Baltimore offense off the field because you're right, the Tennessee Titans defense, not very good, but they can churn on the ground with Henry and keep Baltimore off the field, although Baltimore will score some points. Then we go down to New Orleans. This one, here's the biggest line of the weekend, right? Minus 10, the Saints getting those points there, given the points, I should say, when they host the Chicago Bears, who I think people skeptical because of the Bears offense. You see this one, this line has not moved much, has it?
No, not really. Nine and a half, 10 really has been how it's been most of the week. No shot there. A little movement on the total, but not much throughout the week there, Scott. And we've really been seeing the whole week 46 and a half, 47. Now we're starting to see some 47 and a half show up. So now you're starting to see a little bit of a line move there. Look, this is, to me, I don't see how Chicago really stays in this game unless if Drew Brees starts turning the ball over. The Saints are the most complete team in the NFC. And again, the main reason that they're not the favorites to make the Super Bowl, obviously, is because Green Bay got home field advantage instead of them, and Green Bay beat them in week three earlier this year because of that. So, look, I would lay with New Orleans or nothing here. This may be a good scenario where Chicago scores early and takes a lead, then you hop back in with New Orleans at a lesser number. I just have a hard time seeing the Saints winning this game by less than a touchdown. Look, at 10, I would be comfortable. 9.5, especially laying that with New Orleans. I just don't think Chicago, the playoff caliber team, and they're obviously there because of the extra wild card. So I would take New Orleans here.
Absolutely. Then we close out Sunday with a matchup that is a rematch of Week 17. Of course, the Browns beat the Steelers to get into the playoffs, but now they go back to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers are a 6-point favorite here. And I know a lot of folks think that this is going to be a pretty good game. Although with the Steelers at 6, you see any chance there for Cleveland if you're betting this game to with the 6 points there to make any noise?
Right, look, Cleveland is definitely capable of staying in the game. The problem that I see for them, the Stefanski positive test is a humongous deal because he's their play caller. He understands his team better than anyone else, period. And it's just going to be hard for Alex Van Pelt to replicate that calling plays. So, Pittsburgh's another one of those teams that I think is going to be in teasers all weekend. Down to a pick, premium teaser spot for the Steelers. I think Pittsburgh wins. At 4, I really like Pittsburgh. 3.5, that was out there before the COVID positive test. 6, again, it's a little bit difficult for me to lay a whole 6 with the Steelers. So in the end, I'm looking at throwing Pittsburgh in a teaser with something on Sunday as a second leg. Probably Tennessee up to 9 would probably be the other leg of that teaser. So that's how I would look at it. Pittsburgh premium teaser candidate this weekend.
Love that. Okay, so we move from the NFL with a minute and a half or so we have left with you, Jeff. We go to Monday, the college football national championship game, of course, Ohio State and Alabama. I see Alabama favored by 7 up to 9 is the highest line I saw there. And you look at this one, what are you thinking as far as this game? I think Alabama's going to roll, but when you look at betting this game, what kind of, is there any value there in betting this game at all?
I think Ohio State is more than capable of hanging in here. It's just a matter of who's actually going to be on the field for them. That's right. Really the big concern, and it's tough to bet it this many days out with not knowing who's actually making the trip to Miami for them. So, look, I think this kind of looks like the Florida game in the SEC title game where Florida was able to hang in and they lost by a touchdown and covered. But that would be the only thing I would do. I would consider taking Ohio State, especially if you can get double digits. But I would wait till Monday to see if you get it.
Yeah, that's good. Jeff Parles from Book It HQ, of course, and the Parlay Cast, which you can find on any aggregator where you get your podcast. Jeff, as always, man, we thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Have fun, my man. There you go. Jeff Parles from Book It HQ. So hopefully we'll make you a little bit of money there. So good content there. I've started putting my NFL picks up. I'm not as educated as Jeff, clearly, but I'm starting to do better. I'm starting to do it. I won a couple NBA games I gave you guys yesterday, and I'm tweeting. I'm not a handicapper. I'm just doing it for fun. I'm learning along the way. So if you want to learn with me, you can check out my Twitter handle, at LVGully, G-U-L-L-Y, and you can check out some of my picks. All right, before we go to a break, we're going to go to the phones. Gangster Raider, you're on with Scott here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. What's up, my man?
Hey, Happy New Year.
Same to you, buddy.
Hey, I just want to say that this is a very integral offseason, and we have to get everything right. We can't be cheap. We need to go out and get the best players that want to play for us and go get them, you know what I'm saying? And I don't like that Gus Bradley as defensive coordinator. I say we either go get the dude that's the interim coach right now of Atlanta. I can't think of his name right now.
Raheem Morris.
Yeah. Yeah, or either the defensive coordinator from Miami, the defensive coordinator. I can't think of his last name. Begins with an F, I think. But either one of those two should be the pick for defensive coordinator. And we need to go out and get the best players that want to play. Like if J.J. Watt wants to get traded, trade anything we can for him. You know what I'm saying? If Deshaun Watson wants to get traded, trade anything we can for him. We can't be cheap, even if we got to trade the next two number one draft picks, because we don't know what the draft is going to look like because all the players didn't really get to play in college because of the COVID and everything. So, you know, so we got to go and think about it, because I think Eric Bieniemy is going to take the Chargers job. So if Eric Bieniemy gets the coach Justin Herbert, I think that's going to be like Kansas City 2.0. You see what I'm saying? So we're gonna have to deal with Kansas City. Then we got to deal with the Chargers, and we stuck left with Derek Carr. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, not saying Derek Carr isn't good, but I think he's pretty much reached his ceiling. He's only going to be a little bit more better. You know what I mean? Derek Carr is what he is. You see what I'm saying? That's all I'm trying to say.
Understood.
And Herbert, you saw what he did with like an idiot head coach. You know what I mean? So imagine him with Eric Bieniemy. You see what I'm saying? We got to deal with that in the division. Not only Mahomes, but we got to deal with Kansas City 2.0 and Justin Herbert in the division. You see what I'm saying? So it's very – It's very, very important that we get everything right this offseason. We can't be cheap with the free agents. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have to spend. We're not in Oakland anymore. You know what I'm saying? You're in a major market that doesn't have any state tax. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's go
Absolutely.
Get it. Stop playing. You know what I mean? Because if we don't go get it now, we're going to be irrelevant for another 10 to 20 years. You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you, Gangster Raider, I agree with you, man, 100%. I think they have to, and I think they will, actually, man. I think they're going to go out. They're going to acquire free agents that make sense, especially on that defensive side of the ball, like you're saying. So if there's a guy out there, and we were talking about it earlier with Mo Moten, that, you know, there's going to be guys around the league, because of the salary cap situation, there's going to be guys that cut that you're not going to be expected to be cut. So if the Raiders are willing to take on that money, if they can free up the space themselves, too, with some of these guys that they may end up letting walk, then yeah, you got to go out, you got to improve it, and you got to improve it fast, because you're right, you have the window of time. The offense is at a level where it can win. What you need to do is you need to get that defense. You just have to get the defense to the middle of the road, you know, top 15. And you've said this before when you've called in, and I agree with you. You get them to top 15, top 14, whatever it may be, defense, give that opportunity on the offense to score some more points and to get better field position, and it'll happen. So I agree with you 100%, man. It's a great call. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you next time. All right, we're up against a break. When we come back, Q will rejoin me, and we're going to talk a little more about someone we lost today that Q wants to talk about on the Q-tip, and we'll get to more news and updates on the Raiders, including that offensive line. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio. Welcome back. Here we are, Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. I am geared up for the weekend, wild card weekend in the NFL, of course. And thanks to Jeff Parles there for giving us some tips on betting this weekend, both pro and college games. And I know, as we mentioned earlier in the show, we welcome back in my co-host, Mr. Q Myers. And Q, you look at this wild card weekend. What do you like? And like, what game is kind of given is must watch television for you this weekend?
Baltimore, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Baltimore, Tennessee is going to be so much fun for anyone who is a fan of the ground and pound. You're going to see so much of the run game, and that's what excites me. Between Derrick Henry and his 2,000 yards and Baltimore, and oh, by the way, last time they went out, they only put up 400 yards rushing, over 400 yards rushing as a team. I mean, that's just ridiculous. The ball ain't going to be in the air very much, but that's okay with me, man. I enjoy watching those two teams compete in the style that they play in. So I'm very excited. If I had to say that there's one game that I'm definitely going to make sure I have all my weekend chores done, I got everything knocked out, I'm ready to rock and roll on this certain game, that will be the one.
All right, weekend chores. I love that, man.
Hey, man, every once in a while, I got to do them, man. You know, because especially this year since, or actually this past 2020 and 2021 since COVID, and we're not going actually as to physically as many games as we normally would. Normally, right. I'd have the cop-out like, oh, I got to go over here to cover this game, or I got to go over here to cover this game, or I got to go to this media session. Now the media session's at my desk. You know what I mean? I go and do the Zoom, so I can't get out of, oh, by the way, can you do this? And, oh, by the way, can you do that? It's like, damn, I have nowhere to go right now. So, you know, I'm going to need everything to get back right just so I can get up out the house and not have to do no chores.
There you go. I got to do it this weekend too. We had, I know you're not a big Christmas guy, but I had the decorations outside, the lights. I got most of it in, but I got to get up on the ladder, get the lights off the house. I got to then reorganize the garage. So I'm with you there, man. But I'm going to get it, like you said, I'm going to get it done all tomorrow on Saturday, so Sunday I can watch some football. And I even put up my picks, man. I'm putting up my picks now. I'm putting up my picks on Twitter, so you can see my football picks from today. But thanks again to Jeff Parles for joining us. By the way, when I get set to go outside, Q, and do these chores, you know, I need energy. And I'm not a big – I used to be a big breakfast guy, but I don't like a big breakfast anymore. And so instead, what I do every morning, and the audience knows, and you know too because you do the same thing, is I grab a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar from drjensnutrition.com. Great stuff for the entire family. It doesn't matter if you're using it as meal replacement or snack, certified gluten-free, all-natural ingredients. Superfoods are in there. But Q, the thing about these things is you hear that a protein bar has spinach, it has kale, it has quinoa, and you're like, ugh, right. It's got to taste like junk. But no, these are formulated to taste great.
No, they are. And, you know, the funny thing about it with my time change at the radio station, you know, I've been doing, like you said, I've been trying to have an extra little snack because, again, and my whole routine is thrown off. So yep. I took a whole box of Dr. Jen's to the radio station just so I can have some snack that it could be like my go-to in a commercial break. Like you do it sometimes. Yep. I can just go and grab one. Man, the box had 10 in them, and I just sat them, you know, next to my desk. I didn't literally sit them on my desk, but I figured, you know, ain't nobody going to mess with them. I had 10. One day I came back and there was 3 left. I'm like, are you kidding me? Who jacked me? And so now I got to be careful. So now I got to keep them on my person at all time, because at first I had just brought them so everyone could taste some and yeah. understand why I was eating them every day. But this time I actually took them for myself just so I can enjoy them all the time. And well, everyone figured that, oh, hey, that's that box that Q brought. It's all good for everybody. And everybody jumped all over it. Oh, so not only am I a believer in Dr. Jen's, clearly my whole radio station is as well. I'm going to send them an invoice for those, damn it. As a matter of fact,
I was gonna say you have to lock them in the top drawer now, man. That's
man
incredible.
For real.
But it makes sense because they taste good. They great fiber, keeps you full and satisfied all day. And because you're a listener of this show, you get a special discount. SBT10. That's Silver Black today. The number 10 up on drjensnutrition.com. If you use that code, you will get a special discount just for our listeners. Plus, you get free shipping if you're in Las Vegas. You can check them out at Vegas Discount Nutrition or Terrible Herbst convenience stores all over the valley. You can find them. So Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars, Dr. Jen's Nutrition. Thanks to Dr. Jen and Dr. Andrew, proud members of Raider Nation and supporters here of Raider Nation Radio. All right, Q. So we talked a little bit about the playoffs and and what's going on out there. It's going to be a fun weekend. But I'm more excited to hear kind of what's part of the Q-tip today going into the playoffs. I'm not sure if it's going to be Raider related. I'm not sure if it's going to be playoff rated, but we're about to find out because it is time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Well, Scott, you threw out a couple different options for the Q-tip, and I'm going to go in a whole different direction.
All right.
I'm going to throw you off. I'm going to throw Raider Nation off. Hell, I'm damn near throwing myself off. But I'll tell you right now, today's Q-tip is about the late, great Tommy Lasorda. Man, Tommy Lasorda, the manager of Big Blue, the Dodgers' longtime manager, passed away today, and I just wanted to shout him out, man. And I know that we're talking football and we're talking Raiders, but, I mean, that is a L-E-G-E-N-D legend in Tommy Lasorda. And he helped provide one of my most painful baseball memories. And I know that you, as a baseball fan, as a Padre fan, you know Big Blue, you know the Dodgers very, very well, and you know what kind of bad memories that he probably made and helped create for you as well. But all I could think of is 1988, going back to the World Series, my beloved Oakland A's versus those Dodgers, and good old Kirk Gibson, who was banged up and injured, and there's no way that he can come in and you know, run around the bases and do anything effective. Well, at least that's what little Q, myself, told my dad when we were watching the game. There's nothing he can do. He's injured. He can't even run. He said he don't need to run if he's going to hit the ball at the park. And I was like, he ain't going to hit the ball at the park, man. He's a shell of himself out there. Well, Dennis Eckersley served one up, and Kirk Gibson hit it over the fence, and the rest is history. That was game one of the World Series that year, and the A's never stood a chance. Even though it was a four-game series or a seven-game series, best of seven, they never stood a chance after Kirk Gibson gave him that home run trot around the bases while he's pumping his fist. But that's just one of those memories that I remember of Tommy Lasorda. That was his great team that won that World Series. And even though I'm not a Dodger fan by no sense of the imagination, you've always got to respect the greats. And Tommy Lasorda is one of the all-time greats. And so he passed away today, 93 years old. Actually passed away last night around 10:57 p.m., but it was announced earlier today by the Dodgers organization. So just want to salute to Big Blue. I know we have a lot of listeners there in L.A. I'm sure we got a lot of Dodger fans out there. I think Gangsta Raider may be a Dodger fan, but either way, man, salute to Big Blue, salute to Tommy Lasorda. Rest in peace. You are a legend.
No doubt. And you're right. I hate the Dodgers. And Tommy Lasorda, as a young guy, of course, I didn't like Tommy Lasorda. He used to say all kinds of nasty things about the Padres, even though they were right. They were actually factually correct. So he never went over the top and said something that wasn't true.
Right.
But as a Padre fan, it always hurt, right? But I will tell you this, the one thing about Tommy, because I, like you, I'm a baseball guy. I'm also mostly a baseball purist, and so I appreciate Tommy Lasorda. I appreciate how much he loved the game. I appreciate what he did for the game. I mean, you're talking about a guy that, as a player, coach, and manager, he was in baseball for 71 seasons.
Yep.
I mean, that is incredible, Q. And 93 years old. And I have to say this, as much as it pained me to watch the Dodgers win the World Series for the first time since 1988, I'm glad they did and he was still alive, because this man was a Dodger. He always will be. He was working for the team up until his death. And he said that. He said that at one time, look, I want to die a Dodger. And he did. And lived a good life, 93 years old. I know he was in ill health the last several years. But if you look at what he was able to do, his record, his career record was just over 500. But that doesn't matter. I mean, when you manage, from 1976 to 1996, I mean, eight division titles, four pennants, and two World Series champions. I mean, you know, this guy as a Hall of Famer is amazing. He was inducted in 97. So it's one of those guys where even if you don't like the team, you respect it, because more than anything, he loved the game and he improved the game and he grew the game. And as a baseball fan, I will always appreciate that.
Yeah, and the thing I thought was really cool is that you mentioned he got to see the Dodgers win this World Series this past season, and he got to see it in Arlington. You know, it was bubbled up. You know, the World Series was there at that new stadium for the Rangers. So, you know, he was in the state of Texas here, and he was able to come and check it out and see them win the World Series in that awesome stadium. And then it was kind of like, okay, I've seen everything I need to see. And then, you know, he checked out last night. And so, just like I said, rest in peace to Tommy Lasorda, but a legend, no doubt about it, regardless of team you root for.
And you know what's interesting about this too, Q, is you look at somebody like Tommy Lasorda. Tommy Lasorda, who you know, developed this massive persona, and it helped that he was in Los Angeles, obviously a major media market. Right. But this is before digital media. This is before social media. His personality, his persona were so huge. This is a guy who hung out with Frank Sinatra. You know, this is a guy who hung out with the celebrities in Los Angeles because of the movie industry and the entertainment industry being there. And you look at that today and you kind of say, and I know I'm going to sound like the old guy yelling to get off my lawn, but those personalities, you would think you would have more of them today because so many of these athletes and coaches and personalities in professional sports have all these platforms. But back then it was maybe because the control was in these media companies' hands and because it was smaller and you got it in less dosages. I just don't see personalities like Tommy Lasorda. There's still some out there, don't get me wrong. But, and John Gruden happens to be one of those guys. But if you look at the landscape of athletes, no matter, you know, you look at these young guys and they have Instagram and they have YouTube and they have TikTok and they have all this stuff, but nobody rises to that level. And I know it's time and longevity too, but there's a lot of guys who have longevity now in pro sports that don't even come close to the kind of persona and the impact that somebody like Tommy Lasorda had.
No, you're right about that. And you know, I guess there's multiple reasons for that. I'm not sure exactly what they are, but, you know, it's an interesting point of it. You know, it's just he's a different dude, you know, and I think some of that, too, what we see nowadays and when we do see like larger than life personalities and everything, a lot of it we see is kind of forced, you know, and Tommy Lasorda, similar to John Gruden, I guess John Gruden, similar to Tommy Lasorda, let's put it like that. you know, it's just kind of, it just comes out natural. You know what I mean? And it's not something forced. It's similar to like Marshawn Lynch, you know, like now he's kind of taking advantage of people enjoying who he is as a person, where he's not really, you know, he's not a big talker, he's not a big personality, even though he has a big personality, and he just kind of does his own thing. All of a sudden, a lot of people started kind of saying, hey man, we can market that, we can make it. So it's now it's like, okay, it's almost the, it's not forced, but it's a little bit extra on it than what you would normally get from a Marshawn Lynch. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just different. So, you know, that's kind of, I guess, what made a guy like Tommy Lasorda, who was just who he was. It was nothing forced. It was no kind of, hey, this is the reason I'm doing it. This is just who I am.
Yeah, no doubt. But rest in peace to Tommy Lasorda, and condolences out to Dodger fans. It hurts me to say that. To Dodger fans and to his family more than anything. Thanks, Tommy, for all that you did for baseball. Now, Q, another legend that spent some time in Los Angeles was in the news this week. And that, of course, was Raiders coach Tom Flores. I don't know if you saw it. We tweeted out the video, but Coors Light now has officially got involved in the campaign to make sure that Coach Flores goes where he belongs, and that, of course, is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which I thought was great news. The fact that a partner of the Raiders, because Coors is an official partner of the Raiders, got behind that, and the commercial. Did you see that commercial, man? It's funny.
I haven't seen the commercial. You know, it's funny. I've been talking about this for a while, this whole Hall of Fame and Tom Flores, and I keep trying to let Raider Nation know, hey, man, he's in. You know what I mean? Like, he's, I know he's on the campaign trail right now. I've heard him on multiple stations. I've heard him, you know, just kind of hoping and reiterating that, you know, he's hoping that this is the year. But I know for 100% fact he is in this year, Raider Nation. You will see Tom Flores and Charles Woodson both in the Hall of Fame this upcoming year.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. And the class that's going in is great too. But the commercial cue, he's out in the backyard with an actor, or perhaps it is really his grandson, and they're sitting out there and they're talking about the Hall of Fame and all the stuff that he did, which is, you know, his record and all that kind of jazz. And then he's like, and they show a Coors Light can, and they said, hey, you should put me on the can. And they're like, they did. And there's, so you can get now a limited edition can.
Right.
It says the Iceman, and it's got a picture of Tom Flores. So I thought that was really cool, and it's good to see him getting the credit that he deserves and celebrating what his career was and what he did as a pioneer in the world of professional sports, too. Not only being the first Latino quarterback, but also head coach in the NFL is fantastic. And you're right. he's in. A lot of people don't understand that he's in. But at the same time, I think they just want to make sure he gets as much credit and the spotlight is on him as much as possible, because there's been, it's been far too long where Tom Flores hasn't been talked about. So now he gets his chance.
Yeah, he does. And it's awesome. And I do like that he partnered with Coors Light. I do like that they have the, you know, the limited edition can that they, you know, have his picture on the side of. I think it's great. So, yeah, man, I mean, just anytime a Raider gets into the conversation like that, it gets into the national conversation, and it's someone that is Tom Flores, a true West Coast cat all through and through, Sanger, California representing. I mean, man, that's always awesome. So, yeah, salute to Tom Flores.
And it's really remarkable, the history and the connection between the San Joaquin Valley and the Raiders, because you have Flores, you have Derek Carr, of course, and you have Daryl LaMonica, and then a couple others I'm not remembering off the top of my head. But it's remarkable the connection between that area of California and the Raiders franchise, both in Los Angeles and Oakland.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just kind of I guess it's the lay of the land, you know, and kind of growing up, obviously a lot of these players probably were, Raider fans as well. And sure. So there's been a lot, even going back to Kirk Morrison, who was an Oakland dude, you know, and ends up getting drafted by his favorite team. His dad had, season tickets to the Raiders well before he was ever a member of the Raider Nation, so, or a member of the Raiders organization. So I thought that's pretty cool as well, that the Raiders always seem to have some guys that are from the local area.
By the way, you mentioned Seawood. Who amazing player. And you know, you've seen this guy from a business perspective too, is just impressing the hell out of me. He's got a winery, right? Yep. So he's been doing his wines for a long time. And then very near and dear and close to my heart, Q, he just introduced bourbon.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and hey man, that's good stuff. I mean, he's doing some big things, and that's a good industry. And you're seeing a lot of different folks get involved in that industry. And so I've actually sent some Charles Woodson wines to my mom one time as a Christmas gift. So she really enjoyed that. But I haven't dibbled and dabbled yet into the bourbons, but I'll definitely go to the website and get one or get a bottle. And if for nothing else, just to have it up there in my collection.
Yeah, we need to get him on the show and not only talk a little bit about football, but I want to talk to him about his business stuff, because I'm just so impressed. I love to see players who not only were the top at their position, and in his case, obviously a Hall of Famer, the best to play the position, and then they go out and they do other great things with their life. And I know Charles does stuff with charity as well. It's not just the business side, but I'm fascinated by the business side because I love to see these guys. I know I talk to Lincoln Kennedy all the time about business because he's got a restaurant business and other interests that he has, and you just love to see these guys when they're done playing football. They take the money they've made and then they create with it, right? They don't just go out and spend it. They go out and they create businesses, which create jobs, which create opportunities for people in their community. It's amazing, amazing stuff. So we got to get him on here. I know you'll probably be blah, 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 because he's your guy, but right. We got to have fun. I mean, he's the guy. We got to have him on. I'm sure we will pretty soon. But yeah, I got to get some. I'm going to order some of the bourbon because you're right. That small batch bourbon and small batch spirits, especially with some of these guys, it's becoming such a great industry, a big industry. And they all have, you know, they all have their unique selling properties. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. So shout out to Seawood for all his business adventures. Obviously, he was a GOAT on the field. He's a GOAT off the field, and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. So excited to see that moment when he goes across the stage. However they do it, I can't say he's going to go across stage, but however they do it this year for the introductions and everything and the ceremony. But it's going to be something. And if they do have it in Canton, Ohio, like they have done in the past, and they normally do before COVID, pre-COVID, Raider Nation, that's one that you would want to be at. Trust me, if there's one thing that you want to do, that's go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame at least once in your life. And why not go when Seawood goes in?
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, dude, Canton, Ohio will be silver and black that weekend. There's no question.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be insane. And you know what? Do it. I did it in 2007 when Tony Gwynn was inducted in the Hall of Fame because he was my guy growing up. Him and Cal Ripken Jr. went in the same year. You want to talk about a crazy crowd.
Right.
It was great. They're great, great. The Oriole fans were awesome. But we went up there. It was my dad, myself, and my son. and my brother. So we had, you know, we had three generations, and it was one of the best weekends in my entire life. So when you guys get a chance, if you can do it, and if they have something this year, I'm hoping with the immunizations and all that stuff and the vaccine that they actually have an event. If they don't have a ton of people there, Raider Nation will show up anyway. But if they don't have a ton of people there, at least hopefully those guys can get out there in a controlled environment and do that. Because I'm telling you, Woodson's speech will be amazing. He's gonna get Raider Nation fired up for the entire 2021 season.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be fun.
It will be. All right. We are going up against a break here. We're going to say goodbye to Q. Q, have a good night, man. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, my man. I appreciate you. Raider Nation, do what you do. And make sure you tell Vinny I said have a great show.
I will. Absolutely. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will get to your calls. If you're on hold, don't go anywhere. I'll get you right after the break. 702-365-9200 is the number. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
I said, take it easy, baby. I worked all day and my feet feel just like lead. You got my shirt tailed.
All right, welcome back. Silver and Black Today. January 8th, Elvis's birthday, also David Bowie's birthday. I'm going to sneak music in. That's Bossa Nova. Love it. Get some action moving. You're back here, Silver and Black Today, as we wrap up today's show. Coming up next, of course, is other must-listen radio here on Raider Nation Radio. That, of course, is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Raiders legend Lincoln Kennedy. That goes from 4 to 6, brought to you by Embajador Tequila. You do not want to miss that one. Joining me now is, once said, Vincent Bonsignor. Vinny, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing, Scott?
Good. Listen, so we read your story. We've been talking about it all show, that Chris Richard came in for an interview. So now you have Gus Bradley, Chris Richard, and Joe Barry. Is there, I mean, those are the three names I know you've reported. Is there anybody out there that you think they're still going to talk to as well? Or you think they got it narrowed down to these three guys and they're going to most likely pick one of them?
I do think that the coordinator will come from that group. I'm also not ruling out the possibility of all three ending up on the staff together, and what a coup that would be if it all worked out that way. These are coaches that have a familiarity with each other across, you know, all different levels and places, but they've all worked together at one point or another. I don't think Joe and Chris worked together, but Gus, Chris, John and Joe, John and Gus. So there's a lot of familiarity there. And I think that if you're looking for a staff that's going to, kind of put together a lot of the elements that John Gruden was talking about on Monday with the teaching and communication and track record and openness and respect from, the defensive coordinator to the linebacker coach and letting the linebacker coach do what he does best. You would be off to a good start with those three coaches. Well, and of course, Rod Marinelli would also be a part of it, too. So,
yeah, he's there, too, and he's got familiarity with those guys, too. Now, with Chris Richard, a very interesting one because, like you said, he's got the Gus Bradley connection, not the direct John Gruden connection, right? But Chris Richard sat out this year because he wasn't willing to take a position job before, correct?
That's what the reports were. I can't recall reading it directly from him or hearing it directly from him. It could have, escaped me. I just didn't see it, but it seems like that was something along those lines. And that's fine. But at some point, if those offers aren't coming, maybe you have to think about a different path. He wouldn't be the first one that's had to do that. And he's young enough that, get into the right mix, be part of something successful and special. And the next thing you know, doors are going to be or people are going to be knocking on your door again. So if that's what the position that he took or the path that he took, respect that. But, this is a different year and not sure what other opportunities he has in terms of head coaching opportunities or as a defensive coordinator. So we'll have to see where that all kind of goes. But if he wants to coach again, he might have to just do something a little bit different than what the original plan was.
Well, it's interesting to me too, Vinny, because I remember, you know, when we talked to Coach Gruden right after the season ended, and the question was asked about offensive coordinator. Besides saying that Marinelli would be back, he kind of said, "Listen, I want the position coaches to have the autonomy and all that kind of stuff, and the defensive coordinator to instill in them the ability to do that," which, you know, obviously implied that wasn't the case this past year, at least in some cases. So to bring in Gus Bradley, who's got the relationship with Chris Richard there, and of course Joe Barry. The relationship he has with Rod Marinelli, it's sort of set up that way, isn't it? Where it looks like it's not just a guy who's going to go out and hire a bunch of proteges that he already knows per se or who worked for him, but actually get guys in who could have an instant impact, because they want to turn this defense around quickly, because the offense is there. They just need that defense to just get, you know, even if it's halfway better next year, you're looking probably at a playoff team.
Yeah, and, you know, you're only as strong as your position coaches are, or as your assistant coaches are, and they're only going to be as engaged and involved as you allow them to be, right? And so I know that, you know, covering the Rams, Joe Barry was, you know, had a very big voice in what was going on with their linebackers, you know, and that's what he's done. That was the role that he had, and it looked like Chris, when he was working under Gus in Seattle, was front and center with the defensive backs, and that led to him becoming a defensive coordinator in Seattle and then Dallas. And when you look at the track record or look at the backgrounds of these coaches, it really, you'd be really comfortable with Rod Marinelli in charge of the defensive line. You'd be really uncomfortable if it broke this way. And I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but if it were, this would almost be a dream kind of a situation in a lot of ways. You'd be really happy with Joe Barry in charge of your linebackers. You'd be really happy with Chris Richard in charge of your DBs. And you'd be really happy with Gus Bradley, who's done a little bit of all of those things and orchestrated and overseen a really high level defense as the head of that. That's not a bad starting point when you're talking about trying to get this defense fixed from the coaching perspective and the vision and the communication and the teaching and the development, because this is such a young defense. Keep reiterating that, keep talking about it, to have those type of teachers and motivators and energetic and insightful and really smart and intelligent, I think would be a really good starting point for the Raiders defense.
Vinny Monsignor from In the Huddle. Of course, he is also the beat writer for Las Vegas Review Journal. You can catch a show coming up here with Lincoln Kennedy at 4:00. Vinny, is there any indication that any other coaches possibly could be retained because they like them so much, or they like the job they did, or that we could see any other coaching defections, any guys leaving for other opportunities? I know it's early.
Yeah, not quite sure about that. I would lean toward it's going to be an entirely new staff. Now, you know, there could be somebody that, you know, I'm overlooking or you know, that type of a thing. But I would imagine, and especially if things could break in a way that you know, they're able to bring in some, you know, the defensive coordinator they want, and kind of an all-star cast as their assistant coaches and position coaches, be somewhat surprised if anyone on the current staff outside of Rod Marinelli, you know, carried over.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Vinny, coming up on the show, what do you got going?
Well, we're definitely diving into, you know, it's moving along. The defensive coordinator job is moving along. I wanted to get everyone's thoughts on you know, whether you prefer Joe Barry or Chris Richard or Gus Bradley as a defensive coordinator, or that kind of tantalizing possibility or thought of maybe getting all three. Also going to talk about all the favorite moments of last season, you know, the disappointments of last season. So I kind of want to get callers engaged in talking about what they're going to take away positively and the fun moments from last year, but also, you know, hate to do it, but going to also talk about some of the heartbreaking moments. But you know what? That's what being a fan is about. When you sign up for this, you're basically signing up for the fact that you're going to be there through all the triumphs and the peak moments. But you know what? Sometimes you're going to get your heart ripped out of your chest and stomped on. That's what being a sports fan is all about. And if you're willing to go down that path, you kind of have to accept that that's going to happen for all of us. Every one of us has been a sports fan or is currently a diehard fan of a team, you're going to live and die with them. And yeah. That means some really great moments, but some moments where you're just tossing and turning and not able to sleep and moping around for a whole week. That's just how it kind of goes.
All right. Well, Vinny, listen, from Q and I both, have a great show, man. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Likewise. Have a great weekend, guys. Enjoy the games.
All right. Will do. Vinny Bonsignore coming up next in the huddle. For Q Myers, for our engineer back in the studio, Chris Chapman, and for our producer, David Stepanian, this is Scott Gilbranson. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the playoffs. Enjoy watching NFL football this weekend. Take care and take care of one another. Bye-bye, everybody.